I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Joe Calloway. Joe is a business author, consultant, and speaker whose client list reads like an international who's who in business, ranging from Coca-Cola and Verizon to Cadillac and American Express. Joe also works with small to medium-sized businesses, including franchisees, medical practices, law firms, and a range of professional service groups. And we're going to talk about what some of the differences and commonalities are between some of these big corporations and what it's like to run much smaller organizations. Joe is the author of Be the Best at What Matters Most and five other groundbreaking business books, including Becoming a Category of One, How Extraordinary Companies Transcend Commodity and Defy Comparison, which received rave reviews from the New York Times, Retailing Today, Publishers Weekly, and many others, including his newest book, Magnetic, The Art of Attracting Business. Joe is also the executive in residence at the Belmont University Center for Entrepreneurship. Joe, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, it is great to be here, David. Thanks for having me on.
So I wonder if we could start off by talking a little bit about why mindset is so important for high performance. I know high performance is a big issue for you. Why is mindset so critical?
Yeah, here's the thing. Over the years, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, is I look at successful companies of any size in any arena, whether they are retail or business to business or a profession, even looking at successful nonprofits. When I look for, okay, what is it that the truly successful ones that are able to sustain that success, what do they have in common? And it kept coming back to, you know, it's not so much tactical or even necessarily strategic as much as it is the way they think about their business and the way they think about the different factors in their business. And so what I discovered and what I absolutely believe that unless you've got the right, if you've got the wrong mindset, then nothing you do is going to work. And if you've got the right mindset, and by right, I mean effective and constructive and productive. If you've got the right mindset, then it just puts you miles ahead of your competition.
You know, but some of the biggest and best known business schools in the world spend a lot of time teaching strategy and tactics. So why is it that mindset is so much more important?
Well, in strategy and tactics, it's interesting. If you talk to graduates of some of the best business schools in the world and you ask them what their challenges are once they get out, they say they didn't tell me about the soft stuff. They didn't tell me about the people stuff. They didn't tell me about how to handle all the obstacles that come up. They didn't tell me how to think about all of this. They did the easy stuff, which is the quantifiable things. And I'm not saying, oh my gosh, of course you've got to have a strategy, and of course your tactics have to be right. But there are some kind of attitudinal, and I'm not talking, David, about rah-rah motivational stuff at all, although I'm fine with that. That's all great. But I'm talking about some, I'll give you an example of one mindset that doesn't work is when business owners, managers, leaders, when they make it way more complicated than it needs to be. And when I look at people in business that are consistently successful, they all seem to have this great knack for and mindset of looking at their business in such a way that it simplifies things, because simple beats complicated every single time. That's an example of mindset.
You know, that makes me think of Steve Jobs and what he did with the number of products that Apple was selling.
Yes, absolutely.
As an example.
Listen, Jobs is the one that I reference. I think Jobs is kind of he's the godfather of simplicity in business. He said once in an interview, he said, simplicity and focus have become my mantra. It takes a lot of really hard work to get your thinking clean enough to make things simple. But it's worth the work, because if you can make things simple, you can move mountains. And I just, there's so much power in that idea. I love it.
So what are some steps that leaders can take to make things simple? What have you seen that works?
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's a lot of what my new book Magnetic is about, which is, okay, how can I approach my business so that I, on the one hand, simplify it, but simplify it for the purpose of growing the business and being more successful? I'll give you one that's one of the core ideas in the book, which is to think in terms of what are the three things that we need to get right all the time, every day, all day long with this business. Or if you're working solo, as I do, although you could certainly have some discussion, as I know you believe, as whether any of us truly work solo. But if you tend to be a small business, or if you're a large business, it works either way. What are the three things that if I get those three things right all the time, then I'll be gold? And you define those three things, the most productive way to do it is in terms of what do my customers value most? And I give a lot of examples in the book of businesses that have taken that approach. And once they narrow down to those three things, it's almost like adding 1,000 horsepower to the power of their business. That simplicity empowers them and their employees to be more productive.
Do you think it's hard to try to create three concepts that are the ones, or three things that you need to get right all the time, as an example of creating something that is fairly simple? Because you know, entrepreneurs and business leaders are so full of great ideas, right?
Yeah.
Right. You've talked to any one of them. In an hour discussion, they can come up with so many groundbreaking ideas, so many things that we could be doing that could transform the marketplace or impact their customers, make more money, right? So how do you keep things simple?
I had a discussion with an entrepreneur late last week. And in 30 minutes, it was exactly what you just said, David. She was saying, okay, and then here's another thing that I can do. And I'm going to do this. And over here, we're going to launch a series of this. And then I'm also going to approach this industry. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, the amount of mind share you're giving to each of these projects that you're talking about is so minuscule that you're not going to be successful at any of them. It sounds to me like the one most viable idea you've got is this, and I told her which one. And what you need to do is go deep on that. Put everything else on the shelf. You need to pick a lane, and you need to stay with it, because the big downfall of so many entrepreneurs and so many businesses, large or small, is that they say, oh, and you know what else we can do? And they try, and listen, I'm all for growth in trying new things. I try new things all the time, but never to the detriment of the core, my core value offering, my core value proposition, because it can really get you in trouble. We just spread ourselves too thin. And I absolutely agree with your point.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what else we can do? I'm thinking to myself, whenever I hear that, I should see that as a red flag and just say no.
Listen, I've had to, coming up on the end of the year, my mind's been churning out. And David, I've been exhibit A, because I've been thinking of, ooh, and you know what else I could do? You know what else I could do? And over the last couple of weeks, I've sat down, and what I've done is I'm going to innovate and make some changes in my core value offering. And I'm going to add one new thing that we're going to test it and try it, see how the market responds. But all of these ideas I came up with, I thought, you know what? They're not opportunities as much as they are distractions. And so I knocked all of them off the shelf except for one, and I'm going to test it and see how it goes. And again, we'll see.
I love it. What's another example of someone you've seen who has taken this idea of simplicity and really transformed their business as a result.
Let me give you an example. It's a client of mine, and it's a freight company. It's a trucking company, and they are actually international. But if you think about a freight company, that's, man, logistically, that's like a jigsaw puzzle with 10,000 moving parts. It's a very complicated business. Now, this company is extremely successful, mostly because of the new business driven to them by their existing customers. Positive word of mouth. And here's what they do, David. With this very complicated business, they boil it down to three things. And this is their language. Part of what I love about this is there's no corporate speak in it. They say, number one, pick it up when you said you would. Number two, deliver it when you said you would. Number three, deliver it intact and all there. So they've got thousands of people in this organization, and all of them, regardless of their job description, are ultimately working to enable the organization to do those three things. And it just, it brings a sense of focus and clarity and intention and even calmness to the organization, because they never lose sight that, look, gang, if we do these three things better than our competition, we're solid gold. And there, I mean, you can take any business, any profession, and apply that "what are our three things" idea to it, and it can work very well.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And we have a lot of listeners who are small service businesses.
Yeah.
And in particular in service businesses, it's so easy to start to think of all these different ideas of things we can do to service more people, service people in different ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you can boil it down to three things, I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, it really is.
Joe, in addition to mindset, what do you see that makes a booming business boom?
You know, I think, I mean, just to get to economics and business 101, I think the answer is what makes a business boom is that they create value for the customer, whether that's through a product, through a service, through an experience. I mean, I think if we would all bring it back to that, am I creating the highest and best value possible for every customer? If the answer is yes, and there's another factor, which is the competition, in relation to my competition, am I creating more value than my competition is? If the answer is yes, then you're going to do just fine, because you're going to create satisfied customers, which is the greatest competitive advantage you can have, is to have a bunch of satisfied customers out there driving positive word of mouth. But I really... that's the one area that I see businesses not spend enough time on, which is to, and I mean periodically, I mean regularly, and I do this myself, take a fresh look at their value proposition and say, wait a minute, is this as valuable now as it was 2 years ago? What's happened in technology, in the marketplace? What's happened with my competition? And here's another important question. Am I relevant? Am I absolutely relevant to the customers and the clients that I serve? So I keep that pretty simple, or try to. I really think the big difference is in the idea of value creation.
Now, are there things that you could do that will help answer those questions about how relevant you are, what's changed in the marketplace, how much value are you driving to the customer?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, the two things that come to mind immediately are, number one, stop looking at it from your perspective and absolutely look at it from the customer's perspective. And, you know, we fall in love with our own stuff.
Oh, and, do we and, ever?
Oh, my gosh. And I'm as guilty as anybody. And, you know, the flip side of that, well, not the flip side, the companion to that is, I hear people say, well, Joe, I don't really have any competition. And I say, are you kidding me? What's that like? Because my competition is great. They are so good at what they do. And that's one thing that keeps me constantly improving, constantly getting better. I have to. I don't have any choice. And it's absolute fallacy for any business to say, well, our competition is just no good at what they do. No, that, come on. If that were true, you'd have all the customers and you'd have all the money and you'd rule the world. And people don't do that. So I really think one key thing to do is to look at it from the customer's perspective and this idea of continuous improvement, not as a slogan, but as something that you regularly pay attention to.
That's great. Well, Joe, I didn't ask you at the outset of this conversation, but how did you come to have the focus that you have now in your business?
What do you mean the focus I have now? Tell me a little bit what you're thinking about.
Tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to do what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Right? You've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And you have a particular focus, particular message, particular way that you bring value to your customers. How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, it was not on purpose at the first. I didn't even know that what I do for a living existed as a career. I didn't know that people did this, but I was in the real estate business. I was a sales manager, then a general manager. I was responsible for the training and development of all of our people. That led to me taking that idea of helping people be better at what they do freelance on my own. And then little by little over the years, I've kind of settled into this lane of what is it that high-performing individuals and companies have in common, as I said earlier. And I'm talking about things that any of us could do if we just choose to do them. And so my job is to study the marketplace and understand what works in business, which is a moving target. It changes, it evolves over time. And then take those ideas and distill them down in a way that when I present those ideas to my clients, be it through books or through speeches or through workshops or consulting, that they go, okay, I get it. That makes absolute sense to me why that would work. And then number two, I can do that. You've given me an idea that I can actually do starting now, which, by the way, is one reason I love to work with smaller businesses, because they can act. They can take action so much more quickly than a big corporation can. So my market over the last few years has moved more towards medium to small size businesses as opposed to the big Fortune 500 companies, although I still do some work with them, certainly.
Fascinating. And as you've been moving through your career, how did you learn some of what you've learned? What have been some of the influencers for you?
Yeah, it's been a combination of things. One thing that I do is I am a voracious reader. I'm in my office right now, and I'm looking on the desk beside me. There's Entrepreneur Magazine, Bloomberg Businessweek, Forbes, Fortune, Inc. Magazine, some local business publications. I'm on the internet all the time, keeping up with what's going on in business. The other thing is I learn so much from my clients, and some of them I get to go pretty deep with and really kind of pick apart how they make decisions and their mindset, how they look at what they do. And so I am constantly, my job above and beyond anything is to stay informed about what's working in business because, David, as I mentioned earlier, the thing competitively that I have to do is I have to stay relevant. You know, I think one influence early in my career was, I think, probably the granddaddy of all business books, which is In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters. That really flipped a switch in me because Tom Peters took a look at a number of very different organizations. And he said, here's what this one does that you could do. Here's what this one does that you could do. And I thought, that's powerful. And so that was very inspiring to me.
Yeah, he's a remarkable thinker and has certainly transformed lives for a lot of people.
Yeah, he really has.
Joe, what are you working on now that's really exciting? I know you have your newest book that just came out.
Yeah, Magnetic, The Art of Attracting Business, which I'm doing a lot of work around that book and the promotion of that book. And that's always fun to have a new book out. But I'll tell you what I did all morning is I've got a corresponding presentation or speech with the same title, Magnetic, The Art of Attracting Business. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of chewing on some ideas of how I could make the points in that presentation clearer, how I could bring more clarity to it, and how I could make it more immediately usable, those ideas, to the people in my audiences. So I spent the entire morning, I spent about 5 hours this morning, working on that presentation, trying to make it better, which is how I tend to spend a lot of my time, is simply working on the work and making it better. Because that's my marketing, David. If I do a good job for my customers, that is my marketing. Because just like anybody else's customers, they talk. They tell other people. And so that's where I put all my effort.
Right. So, Joe, what you're saying is, for you, focus time on creating a simple message is really important.
Well, yeah, in a larger sense, it's focus my time on creating a better product. If people say, what do you spend most of your time doing? My answer is product improvement. And my product happens to be books and articles and ideas and speeches and consulting. And that's by the way, that's number one on my three things. My three things are number one, product quality. Number two, be easy to do business with. Number three, immediate response to customers, potential customers, and business partners. And those three things serve me incredibly well. And if I keep my eye on that ball, then I do fine.
That's great. Joe, how can listeners learn more about you?
Listen, everything is on the website, which is just my name, joecalloway.com. Calloway is spelled C-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. The blog is on there. By the way, if they go to the videos page and scroll all the way down to the bottom, they're welcome to download 21 short videos that I produced. It's free. It's videos that we used to sell as a set, and then we decided, why don't we just start giving this away? And it's really been a great thing for our clients and to have on the website. But yeah, they can learn everything there is to know about me and the books. And like I say, there's a pretty thought-provoking blog on there that they can take a look at, joecalloway.com.
Great. We'll include that in the show notes. Joe, who do you know personally who is currently doing remarkable work?
You know, there is a guy that's a longtime friend of mine. His name is Bob Burg, B-U-R-G. And Bob, man, he's doing such good work and having such an influence on his clients and both companies and individuals. He wrote a book called, it's about the concept of being a go-giver. And it's about that, look, if you want to succeed and you want to create abundance and prosperity in your life, then go out and start giving. And it's not in a cliche way. He really gets substantive about that. And you can just Google Bob or go to Bob Burg, BURG.com. He's got great resources that are, I mean, they're inspiring. They'll make you feel better about yourself. And if you feel better about yourself, you feel better about the world. So I'm a big fan, big admirer of Bob's.
Yeah, I'm pleased to say that Bob is a past guest on this show.
Oh, nice.
And the conversation we had was just phenomenal, and he is doing some really positive work impacting the world. So thank you for mentioning him.
Sure.
So one more time before we wrap up, Joe, tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
Yeah, just go to the website, which is Joe Calloway, and that's CALLOWAY.com. And there's all sorts of stuff there that hopefully will spark some good ideas for them.
Great. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a fascinating discussion about mindset, performance, and what we can do to improve ourselves and improve the businesses that we're a part of. My guest today has been author, consultant, and speaker Joe Calloway. Thank you again, Joe, for joining us.
Thanks, David. I'd love to come back sometime.